Let us pray. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, Lord, whither shall I go? Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrims through this barren land. I am weak, but you are mighty. Hold me with your powerful hand. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray your blessings, your continued blessings upon our worship experience. As you have been with us in the reading of the scriptures, the praying of the prayers, the singing of the songs of Zion, Lord, be with us now in the preaching of your word. Somebody needs to hear from you. Somebody needs to be touched by you. Somebody needs to be encouraged by you. So let the Holy Spirit speak now as you have been with us in the preparation, O Lord. Be with us in the proclamation. Is my prayer in the name of Jesus I do pray. Amen. Certainly giving honor to God for his presence in this place, to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to the Holy Spirit, our Comforter and Guide, I do give honor, praise, and glory. To these my cleric colleagues who join me on the rostrum as well as in the pews, to the officers, members, visitors, and friends, to all of you, my brothers and sisters, grace and peace be unto you all from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to hold you too long today, but I want to call your attention to the passage of Scripture that was read earlier from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 11, 12, and 13. According to the New Revised Standard rendering, you will find these words: I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. The word of God for the people of God. For a few minutes, I want to talk from the subject, learning how to be content. Learning how to be content. Thank you, ushers, for your service here today. The church, sisters and brothers, at Philippi was founded by the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey. And the city itself was founded by King Philip of Macedonia, who was the father of Alexander the Great. In Paul's time, it was a military outpost under Roman rule, with special privileges under Emperor Caesar Augustus. Paul's relationship with the church at Philippi was always close and cordial. They had helped him financially on two other occasions. And after hearing about his confinement in Rome, they sent Epaphroditus, his friend, with another gift from the church. You know the story, don't you? The letter to the Philippians is Paul's thank you letter for those gifts carried back by a friend. But barely noticeable by Paul's gentleness in this letter are some of the problems of the church, which can be seen between the lines and beneath the surface of this text. Like any church, they had some issues. They wrestled with some problems, and they faced some challenges. Those problems and challenges included rivalries among the members, personal ambitions of a few of the saints, and false teachings that was undermining the gospel that Paul preached, to name a few. But here, my brothers and sisters, Paul was confined in a jail cell at Rome, facing the possibility of a death sentence. And he still takes time to write an encouraging word to the church. Paul writes lovingly to a church in its infancy, a church in the morning of the faith among the Gentiles. He encourages them not only to recall what he has taught them, what he stood for while among them, but also what he did while he was in their midst. Paul understood, like we should understand, it's one thing to talk faith. It's another thing to stand for it, and something totally different to live it out so people can see it. With the threat of death sentence hanging over his head, Paul writes, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." Paul encourages the Christians at the Philippi or the Philippian church, but he also encourages us not to lose heart, to keep the faith, and to hold on to hope no matter what. He says, don't let life's circumstances beat you down, wear you down, hold you down, pull you down, or keep you down. Because if you just reach a little higher and look a little further than yourself, Jesus will give us peace and contentment in the midst of life's storm. Whether you're up or down, whether you're in or out, whether you're on top of the world or the world is on top of you, whether you have much or nothing at all, if we have Jesus, we can rest easy. Paul did. That's why he wrote, "I am not saying this because I'm in need, but I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content." What was Paul saying? Is that no matter what, he was content. Webster Dictionary describes content as being satisfied with what one has, what one is, not wanting anything else. The condition or state of being satisfied, at ease, or having peace of mind. If we are going to be content or satisfied, we have got to find a source of satisfaction. That's what Paul did. And because of it, he learned to be content no matter where he was, how he was, what he was going through. He was still content. Are you content with what you have in life? Or do you want more? Are you content with who you are in this life? Or do you find yourself disappointed? Sisters and brothers, Satan wants us to live a life full of regrets. Am I right about it? About what we have or don't have. About what we've done or have not done. About what we have accomplished or have not accomplished. We've got to learn to become content with what God allows us to have, where God allows us to be, and who God has allowed us to become or are becoming. Sisters and brothers, if you survey your life, and if you're not happy with what you have, if you look around and you're not satisfied about where you are, and if you look back on your life and you experience some feelings of discontent, just remember where Paul was, facing death, but he still was content. And if that's not enough, remember the words of that old gospel tune by Brother James Cleveland. I don't feel no ways tied. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, but I don't believe he brought me this far just to leave me. You may not be where you want to be. You may not have what you want to have. And you may not have become what you aspire to be. But you've got to learn, like Paul did, how to be content in every situation and every circumstance. Perhaps you are wondering, how can we learn to do this, brother preacher? Paul gives us some clues in his letter to the Ephesians when he wrote speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The psalmist wrote, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. James Cleveland wrote, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. But when God gets through with me, I will come forth as pure gold. In other words, I'm singing the gospel songs, but God is still working on me. I'm preaching the gospel, but God is still working on me. I'm in the church, but God is still working on me. I talk to God on the regular, but God is still working on me. And I may not be where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be, because God is still working. Isn't that right? In these verses, the Apostle Paul says he reached the point in his relationship with God and on his journey with the Almighty that people of faith today often struggle to arrive at, a state of contentment. Paul says he learned something which had nothing to do with where he was, what he was going through, what he had or did not have, what he was facing, how he was still content. He still had joy. He still was at peace. And he still was satisfied. Is that all right? A lot of Christians never reach the point of being content because we have often been led to believe and taught that a relationship with God and a journey with the Almighty does not include any hardships, any tough times, any disappointments, any struggles, any setbacks, any dangers, any cloudy days, any valleys and any hills to climb. But Jesus did not say that. He said, you will have trouble, but remember, I'm with you always. You will be talked about. But remember, I'm with you always. Friends will sometimes become few. But remember, I'm with you always. Is that right? We got to stop listening and buying stock in those prophets and preachers who promise us beds of ease, smooth sailing, and sunny days without rain. But sisters and brothers, if all you have is sunshine and no rain, you end up in a desert or in a drought. Do I have a witness yet? Paul knew better. So he wrote about the good days and the bad days. But in spite of it all, he still was content. When he wrote to the church at Corinth, he put it this way. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. The hymn writer Horatio Spafford put it this way. When peace like a river attended my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Sisters and brothers, God did not promise us beds of roses, but he did promise he would be with us through sunshine and rain, through sickness and pain, through thick and thin, through joys and sorrows. Is that right? It seems strange that a man in prison would be telling a church to rejoice. But Paul's attitude teaches us the important lesson. Our inner attitude do not have to reflect our outward circumstances. Paul had joy because he knew no matter what happened to him, Jesus Christ was still on his side. Paul learned that there are some levels of growth in the Lord and in the faith and in the spirit. The first level is believing that Jesus is the Son of God and accepting him into our lives as our Lord and Savior. The next level is learning all you can about who Jesus was. What Jesus taught, what Jesus stood for, and what Jesus requires of his followers. There are many more levels, but for the sake of this sermon, the final level is when we trust the Lord, no matter what may come our way. Brothers and sisters, there are people in the church who get stuck on a certain level, and they never move above it. They stay on the first level. They believe in Jesus, but they never learn what he had taught them. And then there are people who get stuck at the next level. They learn about Jesus, but they never follow him. And then there are people who think they are at the highest level than they actually are. Churches are filled with people in this category. But Paul was content because he learned to see life from God's point of view. He had his priorities straight and was grateful for everything, no matter what. That's why he wrote to the church at Rome. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. He learned to be content. That's why he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, in everything, give thanks. For For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Sisters and brothers, we may have some struggles. We may have some setbacks or delays. But just remember what the psalmist wrote. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. My sisters and brothers, Paul said, I might be locked in jail, but I'm satisfied. I may not have money for my bail, but I'm satisfied. Friends may have deserted me, but I'm satisfied. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I'm satisfied. Sisters and brothers, if we are going to learn how to be content, then we will have to learn how to look at God differently. God, my brothers and sisters, is not a cosmic bellhop who runs around the universe answering every selfish prayer. God is not a genie in a bottle that we can rub and poof. There he is to grant us three wishes. And God is not an eternal slot machine that we can pull with our prayers and hit the jackpot. How we see God will help us to learn to be content. When the hymn writer looked at God, he wrote these words, God, our help in ages past, our help for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. When the psalmist looked at God, he wrote these words, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the songwriter looked at God, he wrote these words, he's a balance in the time of a battle, and a shelter in the time of a storm. When the psalmist looked at God, he wrote these words, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Sisters and brothers, these days I've learned to look at God differently. Just the other day, when I was thinking about God, he put a word in my spirit. I know you have a word for the day, Sister Dean, Sister Arnett, but every now and then the Lord gives me a word. He gave me the word anyhow. So now, when I think about God, the word anyhow comes to mind, because I believe God is engaged in anyhow ministry. So we gotta have anyhow faith. When nothing going our way, wait on the Lord anyhow. When the storm clouds rise, wait on the Lord anyhow. When nothing seems to go right, wait on the Lord anyhow. When things look dark and dismal, trust God anyhow. And when nobody else believes, believe the Lord anyhow. Because God is engaged in any high ministry. When you look at it from that perspective, you can still have joy. You can still have peace. You can still be satisfied. And you can still be content with Jesus. My sisters and brothers, Paul practiced an anyhow religion. And he had any high faith. And because of it, he worshiped and said, God, anyhow. How do you know that, preacher? Well, when Paul and Silas were locked in jail, Luke wrote, but at midnight, they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. Ain't the Lord all right? God is engaged in anyhow ministry when we did not deserve it, but God saved us anyhow. God delivered us anyhow. And God interceded for us anyhow. Aren't you glad that God engages in anyhow ministry? When nobody thought it would work, he worked it out anyhow. When we could not see our way, he made a way anyhow. We were some of the biggest sinners on the block, but God saved us anyhow. The truth is, it looked like we were gonna fail, but we succeeded anyhow. Defeat was knocking at our door, but we won anyhow. We did not always have enough, but God provided anyhow. When haters and doubters were all around, he prepared a table anyhow. When we were down and looked like we were out, the Lord lifted us up anyhow. When our hearts were broken, he dried our tears anyhow. When our soul was hurting, he soothed our souls anyhow. And when the way was dark and dreary, he made us whole anyhow. So I don't know about you, but I made up in my mind that I will bless the Lord anyhow. His praises shall continually be in my mouth anyhow. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord anyhow. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad anyhow. Oh, magnify the Lord with me anyhow. And let us exalt his name together anyhow. Isn't he all right? Truth be told, many of us are living anyhow lives. We could have been dead, sleeping in our grave, but he woke us up anyhow. We should have lost our minds, but he raised us clothed in our right mind anyhow. We did not get the degree, but we still got a good job anyhow. They said we wasn't smart enough to get in college, but we got accepted anyhow. They said we wasn't gonna make it, but God made a way anyhow. Isn't he worthy? God is still engaging in anyhow ministry. No matter how it looks right now, he's able. That's why the songwriter wrote, hallelujah, anyhow. Never let life troubles get you down. When life troubles come your way, hold your head up high and say, hallelujah, anyhow. He's an anyhow God. That's why Paul wrote, but God demonstrated his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus did nothing wrong, but they arrested him anyhow. They found no fault in him. but they condemned him anyhow. He committed no crime, but they crucified him anyhow. He could have called down a legion of angels to save him from the cross, but he died anyhow. Friday, they placed him in a borrowed tomb, put a stone over the entrance, placed a guard on it, but early Sunday morning, he got up anyhow. So I've learned to have an anyhow praise. No money in the bank, thank you. Sick in my body, thank you. Trouble in my way, thank you. Enemy on my trail, thank you. Encountering rough roads, thank you. I've got an anyhow praise because I serve an anyhow God. That's why the writer wrote, like a ship tossed and driven, battered by the angry sea, when the loads of life are raging and their fury fall on me, I wonder what I have done to make the race so hard to run. Then I say to my soul, take courage, the Lord will, the Lord will, the Lord will make a way somehow. Ain't it all right? I serve an anyhow God. That's why the songwriter wrote, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will, God will, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will, God will. Won't it do it? I serve an anyhow God, so I have an anyhow praise. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Some anyhow praise. Thank you for how you brought me. Thank you for how you taught me. Thank you for how you kept me. Thank you. You never let me. Ain't he alright? Have you tried him? Ain't he alright? Ain't he a good God? Won't he pick it up? Turn you around. Place your feet on solid ground. Ain't he alright? Say it. Yeah. Yeah. He's alright. He's alright. Won't he do it? I have anyhow religion. I'm going through. I don't care what the world says or do. I made up my mind, I'm going on with Jesus all the way. I'm going through. Ain't he alright? Have you tried him? Ain't he alright? Say yeah, yeah, yeah. Ah.
No, he's alright. Hey.
Yeah, he's alright. So I'm gonna keep on climbing. I'm gonna keep on
prison. I'm gonna keep on trusting because he's alright. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Ain't he alright? Ain't he alright?
Real hero.
He brought our ancestors through slavery. He brought our elders through Jim Crow. He brought my grandmama. He brought my daddy. He brought my mama. And he brought my father. And I know God will. God will. God will.
No hero. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For looking beyond my faults anyhow and seeing my needs. Thank you, Lord. For saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. For making me whole. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right?
No hero. Hey. I'm satisfied. Are you satisfied?